we've been talking about grace, and today I want to extend that into something just a little bit different, because I want to begin to talk about an intensive training, okay? Because there were some things that were released on Thursday night that really stirred up a thought in me about this. But we've come to see that grace is not an excuse for our sin. Grace, in fact, is the power and the mastery over sin. That's a foundation that we have to have within ourselves. Because as we begin to understand that, then we can begin to see how grace can come alongside us in our hour of need. But see, this grace is also an expression of the ultimate love of God. Because He came and He bestowed His grace upon us that we might have a place of salvation, and we have a moment of salvation, and we have a moment of transformation and restoration. Because all of His grace is about a restoration into Him, a restoration into that access and that place that we have in the Father. So grace is that ultimate expression of His love. On Thursday, Tina began to just release some of her testimony. And in that testimony, I began to see the Lord spoke two words to me on the way home. And He said, intensive training. Intensive training. And see, that intensive training is when we've passed through the test, then it becomes intensive training. But there's a process that has to happen in our lives for us to be able to strip off some of the other things and allow the Spirit of God to come forward. Intensive training. It's time for us to begin to look at the difficulties that we have in our life through a different light. Because see, oftentimes we see these obstacles that are in our life as a problem, and sometimes they're actually the solution. Sometimes they're actually an opportunity waiting destiny, bringing forth the purpose of God. I in no way believe that God is responsible for all of our sorrow and headache and problems. Oftentimes we are, but I don't blame it on God. But there is one who is out here to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's called the devil, called Satan. And that's his part and his portion in his life. But God will not let a trial go to waste. So what He's talking about here is sometimes those are the things of intensive training. Because those are the things where God is taking the rough edges and beginning to polish them off of us so that we ourselves can see the jewel. We have to begin to realize that it's not about our suffering, it's not about our hurt and our pain, but it's about this place of training. To realize destiny can be released in those moments of suffering. The tragedy can result in destiny coming forth. And that's what I saw in her testimony, because, see, her testimony started off with a great tragedy, but the result was destiny. It is Mother's Day, and so in the same way, there are aspects of our Heavenly Father that nurture. The word in Proverbs 22 tells us that if we'll train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. And this is the nature of the Father, what He releases to us. Everything that we do, if we'll allow for it, everything that can happen around us will begin to train us up in the way that we go. It'll train us up in our expectancy. See, being a mother was originally about an expectancy for something to happen. It is not necessary for us to go through a trial. However, sometimes we won't push ourselves otherwise. We won't do the thing we need to do otherwise. By no means do I support Patton's means of life or anything else. But the one thing that I did admire about this great general was the fact that as a child, he began to embrace his destiny. As a child, he began to embrace who he was going to become because he began to position himself by doing things that were above and beyond the call of duty in his own personal put together to embrace this call that was on his life. He would force himself to eat his lunch in front of a dead frog. He would take rocks and fill his mouth and then begin to speak until he could master speaking even in the worst of most difficult circumstances. He would do all these things on purpose to train himself in a level that was far harder than anything that he would encounter. When we begin to do that, when we begin to press in, then those things can have an effect in our life and bring us into the place of destiny. I don't say this for any other reason but just as a place of training, but there would be times when I've fasted and I was fasting, and as I'm fasting, I'm not thinking about myself because that doesn't do anything, but I'm thinking about the children that are starving. When I'm fasting, the thing that excites me is begin to picture and see arms and legs growing out. I'm not fasting just to make myself thin. I'm fasting because there's a purpose that leads into a destiny. That's what God's looking for in us sometimes. But sometimes we won't do those things of our own accord. Sometimes there's a situation that comes up in our life that draws us in and begins to form us and to mold us into an image that we had yet to embrace. But sometimes it's the thing that's doing it, that's being released. And if we'll see it and embrace the destiny and what he's doing, then it becomes a moment of intensive training. God has a destiny locked up in each and every one of us. We are created for an impact, and that impact is released as we begin to embrace what he's calling us to do. If you go to 1 Peter 5:10, when we begin to see our struggle is about in a place of intensive training, it changes the way things look. When we begin to see that this intensive training is about being prepared for who we are, it changes how things look. No longer, when I begin to see that it's about being prepared, no longer am I enamored with this idea that I'm in trouble with God because I'm in a hard spot. There's a thing that happens in the human psyche that is natural to human beings to think that, well, I must have done something wrong to be in this place. That's not always true. You've not always done something wrong to be in a hard place. You won't know that until you begin to embrace it as a training. When you begin to embrace it as a place of training, then you'll begin to see the purpose of the exercise. And as you begin to see the purpose of the exercise, you can be released into the destiny that comes with it. Like it says in Romans 5:17, out of the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, those who will receive that abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign with Christ Jesus in this world, in this life. We have to receive that righteousness that's within him. We have to receive this righteousness that's been given to us as a gift, because out of that gift, we're no longer condemning ourselves for being in this hard spot. We're no longer condemning ourselves and realizing that God has a purpose. Even in the middle of this, I will find my purpose. And if I find my purpose, I can be released from the condemnation and the guilt. As I embrace my purpose, I no longer have to hold on to guilt and condemnation for being in this bad spot. And that is freedom. There's a great freedom in that. There's a great freedom to embrace the destiny that is released. There's a freedom from the burden of sin. There's a freedom from the burden of unworthiness. Sometimes when we get into a hard spot, we just automatically go into a place of unworthiness. And yet God came to give us a freedom from that. He gives us a freedom from that unworthiness when we begin to understand the righteousness that He's given and accounted already to us. As we embrace that righteousness that He's accounted to us, we're no longer looking at ourselves as a sinner. We're looking at ourselves as someone who's on a track to go where God wants to go. When we begin to embrace these difficulties as a place of intensive training, it answers the question, am I worthy? It resolves that question in our heart. When we begin to see that our struggles are about this intensive training, then it releases the understanding that God is with us. And that's what 1 Peter 5:10 tells us. But the God of all grace, who has called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after have you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. See, grace comes alongside. When you're on the track to destiny, grace comes alongside. When you're walking out God's plan, grace comes alongside. When you're stepping even in the middle of a trial and a circumstance, in the middle of the wilderness, grace comes alongside. And He's setting you free. He's not leaving you out there by yourself. He's coming alongside you to lead you into the perfect destiny. I'll give you a little bit of a glimpse into my own life of how some of that's worked. But He's showing us how to embrace who He is. And as we embrace who He is, then in this perfect destiny, we also are beginning to embrace who we are. See, had I not embraced my grace for salvation, I would not be standing in front of you. There's a grace that is released. The reason that I came to the place of embracing this grace for my salvation was because I was in trouble. I realized there was something that was going on in my life that was bigger than I was, and I needed some help. Had that not happened, would I have embraced God in the way I have? Not real likely. Maybe. But I can tell you, I had 35 years to do it before that and hadn't. There's something that God's releasing in that grace. See, in this place of grace, there's a release, an access into that divine exchange. An access into the Heavenly Father, an access into the heavenly realms, and an access of exchange. Because in this place of grace, then we can begin to realize that, hey, I can come to this throne of grace. I can lay these burdens down upon Him, and no longer do I have to carry it. I can just understand that He's here with me. Sometimes in our journey, we encounter a loss. And sometimes that loss seems very unjustified. Sometimes that loss hurts our ability to love. But the answer is not to withdraw. Because see, a lot of times that's the first thing that we want to do is, well, in order to protect myself, then I'll just quit loving anybody. The answer is not to withdraw. The answer is to learn how to embrace love. And everywhere that is to be found. Because as we embrace love and take every possible advantage of the moments of love that we do have, we find something greater than ourselves. We find something that is worthwhile to take the risk. Grace will show us how to love. Grace will show us how to embrace that love and embrace that access. When we see the intensive training, when we begin to see our trouble or our trial as an intensive training, then we begin to understand that it's a seed for opportunity. And every opportunity and every challenge that is met becomes a stepping stone to the next challenge in our life. Everything that you learn, everything that you go through becomes another tool that you have already mastered that will be able to be implemented in the next phase. Somebody was asking me about certain creativity for invention, and basically part of that comes from having experienced over a long period of time many different creativities, many different ideas. And then you begin to bring all those different experiences into a new form. And then that's how God releases new creativities into the earth. Because we will see something, and out of this experience that we've had that's unique to us, He can take and form something that's new and different that has not yet been experienced. Right now in this particular season is a time of graduations. And I can remember when school seemed like an insurmountable mountain. And I imagine everybody in here has some knowledge of that experience at some point in time. And if it wasn't for you personally, then it was for you as a parent. I can remember the day we dropped off Grandma at the airport. After having graduated our youngest, and it was like on the way home, I mean, I almost flipped the car. All of a sudden, it's a, yes, it's done. We were giddy and excited because something had been overcome. Something had been overcome, and it released a fire. It released a joy. Because, see, we had got it accomplished. We had gotten it accomplished. But see, that mountain was something that we had to speak grace to. It was something that we had to release grace to. We didn't even know we were doing that at the time, but we had to release grace. We had to speak the word into that every day. We had to speak the word into it and have an expectancy that it was going to change. And that which we had seen, that which we had understood was going to happen. There were days, he had this 0 hour that last year, he had 0 hour, which meant he had to be there at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and this child did not like to get up. And there were days I would sit there at his door, and I would just speak the word. Speak the word in a loud voice, but that would motivate him to be up and out. I would just get the confession mantle, framing your world, and I would just begin shouting it. And I begin shouting it, keep on shouting it until, you know, there would be a stirring and there would be, all right, I'm up, I'm ready, I'm going. In which case, then I could retire and do it a little quieter and continue on with what I was doing. But you had to speak into the destiny. I was calling forth destiny over his life, and I was calling forth destiny. Instead of putting a bunch of shame and guilt and condemnation on him, I was calling forth destiny. And that's the way our Heavenly Father wants to do it with us. He's not out to put a bunch of guilt and condemnation on us. He wants to release this destiny. He wants to release our purpose. He wants to release vision over our life. Because as we receive that vision, as we receive that purpose, then we can too embrace it and be in agreement. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? So when we begin to embrace what He's saying, we're in agreement. It's the way He releases over us. It's part of our training. And see, the way that He's releasing over us is the way that we're to release into the world. I can remember being so mad one day, and I was out and I was just pulling weeds because I had to have something to do because I was just like, I was frustrated with him, and I was thinking of ways that I could shove little splinters underneath his fingernails and stuff like that to, you know, to exact the amount of pain that I was feeling and make him feel that same level of pain. And as I'm pulling the weeds and thinking about how far those things got to go up there to really create the right level of pain, then the Father asked me, is that the way I treat you? And I was like, no, I'm sorry, Lord. I felt so small. As he began to model before me the way he treats me, that allowed me to begin to model before my son the way the Father wants it done. It did not agree with my flesh, but it agreed with his spirit. That's the thing that we got to look for. That's where destiny gets released, when we come into agreement with his spirit. That's part of the intensive training. It's part of what God is doing in our heart. Proverbs 13:12 tells us that a desire, this is the second part of the verse, the desire or goal realized is a tree of life. A desire realized is a tree of life. When we understand, we achieve, when we come into a goal and the fullness of that goal, then there is a tree of life. There's an exuberance that is released. When we realize that it was done, it was complete, that he had graduated, there was an exuberance that was released. You know, I can be fishing for hours, and if you're not catching anything, you just get tired, you get complacent. But you catch one fish, get one bite, and you're ready to go for another hour. The excitement stirs up, and the adrenaline starts flowing, and you're ready to go again. And it doesn't matter if you've been there all day. When you get another bite, you're ready to go again. Because there's something about a goal being realized that releases life. It releases life. When the goal is achieved, there's a release of life. When you graduate high school, there was a release of expectancy and a release of life. When you graduate college, there's a release of expectancy and a release of life. And you get to run on those things for a little while. But somewhere along the line, sometimes we quit trying to achieve these goals. We quit trying to achieve, and then we miss that release. God is putting and allowing these things. He's putting the possibility for the release of life in our understanding here. See, without an obstacle to overcome, then there can't be the release of life that comes from the overcoming. We want our life to be all easy and good and smooth, but the reality is if that presents very lazy, content, and not very effective Christians. The time the church was most effective was when it was under the most persecution. Where a group of 100 men and women, I suppose, when we were in there as well, changed the whole world under great persecution. When Constantine began to embrace Christianity and drew it in and made it the mainstream, Christianity went into the Dark Ages. For 1,000 years, it was lost. We thrive as individuals. We grow when there's something at stake and something to be won. But it's part of our intensive training. We're not going to thrive just because a trial came into our life unless we realize that it's part of the intensive training. And unless we realize that there's a purpose and a goal here that's happening. It's all about how you think about it. It's not about what happened to you. It's what you think about it, how you allow it to affect you, how you allow it to change you. Because if you allow it to change you in a positive way, if you'll see the good that can come out of it, then God can take it and use it for your benefit. But it has to do with how we receive and perceive what's happening. God uses these things that are in our life. He said to me, I have accelerated the growth of my people in the midst of trial and affliction. There's an acceleration that happens when we embrace the trial as something to be embraced, as we begin to embrace it for something that will cause good to happen. If all we ever see is the hardship and all we ever embrace is the hardship, we're missing the point. Embrace the good that is inherent in it. That's when it becomes intensive training. See, intensive training positions you both physically and mentally. When you're in the army and they're running you through boot camp, they're positioning you both physically and mentally so that you can be a vehicle of overcoming. They're getting you into a physical condition that will be able to sustain what they're about to release to you. And they're getting you into a mental position to know your place in the order of things. But God's not too awful different, because He'll position us as well. And oftentimes we may not even be aware of it. And I wasn't on purpose embracing it as an intensive training at that moment. But had I understood it, I probably should have. But I can remember the moment when I began to understand who God was and that He was real in a way that I had never known. I had told someone that I would come to a meeting. I don't know why. I don't even remember why I told them that. But I'm a person of my word. But before that meeting was supposed to happen, I had this big argument with one of my sons. And I was like, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to be done. I want to do nothing. I'm just upset. In that moment, I remembered that I had made this promise. So because I made this promise, I went. But as I stood outside the door, before I rang that door, there was about a 10-minute time period where in me there was a great internal struggle to push the doorbell. Because the enemy knew what was about to happen to me, and yet I did not. Everything in me did not want to be there. But God used that characteristic that I had of, I made a promise, I'm going to follow up. And so, eventually, I pushed, after 10 minutes of struggle, I pushed the doorbell and I got invited in. And I got invited into this ministry. In this place of ministry, this gentleman began to speak in a very prophetic moment and began to speak into my life. And I began to see God in a whole new way. I did not know that those things existed. Had I not come into that moment, I might not have embraced my faith the way I have. Because see, he began to speak into me things that he could not know. Speak into me things that no one else knew. But I knew, and I could tell that he knew. The only way he could get that was from God. And that encounter released a whole new grace in my life. That encounter released a grace that began to change and mold who I've become. See, that was an appointed time. Had I missed and not pressed that button, had I given in to the independence that was in me, had I given in to the rebellion that was in me, I would have missed my moment of an appointed time. Had I done that, I probably wouldn't be here. I might be in church somewhere, but I wouldn't be up here. Because there are appointed times that come in the moment of intensive training. There is a release of an appointed time, an appointed place. That was my appointed time. That was my appointed place. And it came out of a release of grace. Not just for my life, but for everyone's life I will ever come in contact with. That's what I'm beginning to try to talk to and can express to you, see. Is that these things are about the preparation. Had that preparation of that word not been received into my heart, I couldn't have changed the things that I've changed. I'd still be walking in that same rebellion, that same independence. God has an appointed time, and it's released often in the intensive training. 2 Corinthians 4. Our preparation is not always about today. Verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, God's not short-sighted. He's not short-sighted. We can be very short-sighted. If it's not happening today, if it's not good for me today, I don't want it. If I can't see a result right now, I don't need it. That's our attitude. But God's not so short-sighted. He's not just looking for this moment. He's looking for an eternity. Have you not embraced the grace of salvation? Your eternity is very different than when you do. God is not short-sighted. If the conflict in your life only gets you to the point where you embrace salvation, then God is satisfied that eternity has been served. If the conflict is in you, will result in the eternal life for somebody else. God is overjoyed because eternity is served. When we can see those things and begin to testify, where does the testimony come from? It came from the test. When we can begin to testify what God has done for us, that's probably the most effective tool that we have to witness to someone else. I would have been out of the room, and I just walked in the room as she was sharing, and the anointing was such that I just wanted to get on the floor and just weep, and I didn't even know what she was talking about. I hadn't heard. I just felt it. The anointing is on the testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It releases with it life. It releases life. This light affliction, because most of the things that we look at as great mountains, when we're past it, we look back and say, it wasn't nothing. It wasn't even a mountain. That person that I could not forgive for 20 years, when I look back, is like, why was that an issue? Those things that seem so huge and so big, oftentimes when we have overcome it, we see it for what it really is. And it's like, oh, why didn't I let go of that 20 years ago? It's only a mountain until we overcome it. Then it takes its real form. And it produces an eternal weight of glory. Go to Luke 16 for just a moment here. There's a release that's happening as we embrace the training. This is something that Jesus spoke. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the steward reported him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And the steward said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? And I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they will receive me into their homes. And he saw them in each one of his master's debtors and began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 denarii worth 100 measures of oil. And he said, take your bill and quickly write 50. He said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. What We have to recognize that this life that we have is our stewardship. The life that you and I have is our stewardship. What we do with it for our King is our stewardship. What we do with it, how we begin to present it to the world is our stewardship. And at some day, in some point, that life will no longer exist. It will be taken back. Our stewardship will be at an end. And the question is, what did we do with this stewardship? How did we let the overall weight of eternal glory be affected through our stewardship? This is what he's releasing here as a call for our life to be in such an example that it releases glory and grace, eternal glory in someone else's life. It releases that moment of salvation. It releases that moment of encouragement. It releases that moment of love, that embrace to go on and to pick up and carry forward in someone's life. It's about evangelism, but it's also about the life that we live. It's about the example that we'll carry forth. Those things, when we begin to recognize that the things that are in our life are just a training, that it can release something in somebody else's life. As I embrace the love that God gives me, it allows me to release that love to someone else. As I embrace the grace that God gives me, it allows me to be a steward over that and release that grace to someone else. As I begin to embrace the prophetic that has come into my own life and I release the prophetic into someone else. So again, that life brings forth life. Grace releases more grace. Salvation releases more salvation. Because we're taking what is given to us and beginning to carry it forward. It's all part of the training. God has put a vision inside of each of you. And the things that you experience aren't just there to make you suffer. And we need to quit looking at it like that. The things that we experience are to bring us into the place where we can begin to be an expression of God's glory. In the intensive training, as we understand it, then our difficulties become both an inspiration and a measuring stick. Inspiration, because, you see, it's oftentimes that our desperation is caused by a situation like that that'll drive us to our knees to where we'll actually begin to crawl out and cry out and ask God what it is that He needs. It's my hope that we'll embrace God with that same fervor and intensity without an issue, without a crisis at hand. But the truth is, lots of times we don't. Desperation brings an openness and a humility with it that releases destiny. Because see, in openness and humility, God can release grace. And that desperation can be either self-induced because you choose to love God enough to press in, or it can be released through a trial. But either way, it's a part of your training to get you where you're going. It's not happening to you just to beat you up. That's the enemy's intention, but God's going to use it for His glory. When we go through a crisis, it reveals what's in us. We begin to really see whether or not we're standing in faith. It's a place where the internal realities, this is Bill Johnson's thing, internal realities become an external reality, which becomes an eternal reality. There's a change, and whatever's inside of us, if it needs to be worked on, it becomes evident. If it's pure and it's of God, it becomes an external reality, which becomes an eternal reality. Because not only does it change us, it'll change those who are around us, those that we can affect. It's part of that stewardship. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Grace turns difficulty into training. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Let me address that. If necessary. Not every trial in your life is necessary. Not every trial in your life has to be engaged. Because some of them are coming out of our own nature. Some of them are coming because we've come back around the mountain and we didn't deal with it last time. So those trials are not necessary. They're provoked only because we didn't bother to learn the lesson the first time. If we'll embrace what God is doing each and every time that something comes up, we don't have to go back around the mountain. If we'll embrace and learn and allow the character of God to be brought up in us through every circumstance, then we can avoid a whole lot of the trials. It's necessary. I found I don't like going around the mountain. So therefore, I choose to confront whatever the issue is up front if I understand what it is. Just to choosing to confront it. And when you back away from something, when you run away from something, you're just doomed to repeat it again. So you might as well embrace it the first time. Put your face on and jump in. Because you know that as you're going through it, there's going to be a grace for that. So you can embrace it. You know, as you're doing it, there's an opportunity to see who God is in this thing. And when we see our trial is an opportunity to see who God is, it changes how we respond to it. We no longer need to avoid it. And we won't have to come back around the mountain. Because there's a grace for it the first time. There's a grace for it the second time if you want to do that. There's a grace for it the third time if you want to do that. But I'd much rather take the grace for the first time. Hallelujah. It's necessary. So various trials, if necessary. If necessary. Thereby the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That trial that brought you to the place of accepting Christ. I've only known one person who ever accepted Christ when they weren't in the middle of a conflict. The trial that brought you to Christ, it was a place of intensive training. It was a place where there could be a grace released on your behalf. And you embraced it by accepting this Savior who then was able to extend himself into your behalf. It's something that changes not only the momentary time here on earth, but also your eternal destiny. Because each of you embraced this place, then we're here today. Learning a little more of him. Because we're here today learning a little more of him, he's able to release in us a knowledge that everything that we go through can now be something to actually be rejoiced in. It may not be pleasant, but at the same time, it can be embraced. And as it's embraced, you graduate. Sometimes you get the joy of graduating right then. Sometimes the graduation comes a little down the road. But the step is you graduate because the promise is you graduate. Over a period of time, that graduation will come forth and come forth and come forth and bringing with it a new excitement, a new release of joy, a new release of life for the next thing in your life. And after a while, you look back and you go, wow, look at the changes. That was one of the joys of this graduation that we went to, was getting to visit with these people that we knew 10, 15 years ago and see the changes in our lives and in their lives. And to know where we were and know where we're not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our desperation brings with it an openness and humility which releases the promises of God. It takes humility to embrace what God's doing in our life. Some difficulties are actually blessings in disguise. I saw a little piece the other day. This gentleman, when he was 16 years old, he was playing baseball, and I guess he was a pitcher, and the ball came back and broke his nose. Well, while they were trying to fix his nose, they found a tumor that was in his throat that would have killed him in a few months. He was now 40-something years old. It was definitely a trial. It was definitely painful, but it also released a new lease on life. God has a destiny locked up for you in the midst of every situation and trial, if we'll embrace it. I want you to go to 2 Timothy. Because in 2 Timothy, we want to look at one last little spot here. Second Timothy 3. Verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. When we understand and see that our difficulty is about an intensive training, it releases the word because all scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. God is releasing a training in righteousness. Oftentimes we'll begin to turn to the scriptures, and there's a reason for that, because there's a training that's happening as we turn to the scriptures. There's a training in what righteousness is and what righteousness looks like. There's a training that is released in your life as you begin to let this thing that has come upon you cause you to seek out His perfect plan, to seek out an answer and a response in His Word. Because our responses that come out of the flesh don't result in growth, but the responses that come out of the Word will. Those responses will release growth. And so let me give you just two scriptures. I'm going to give you two scriptures here. Jude 24. He who is able to keep you from stumbling will present you faultless before the presence of His glory with great rejoicing. See, our own Lord and Savior will release into you. He's able to keep you from stumbling. His joy is to present you before His Father, holy, blameless, beyond reproach. That's how He sees you. Why should we see ourselves any different? Why should we see ourselves any less? If He sees us and is willing to present us holy and blameless before the Father, why do we see ourselves any different? When we go through the trial and we begin to see ourselves in this manner, we're with the One who will present us blameless. We know that we're with the One who will present us spotless and whole. It releases destiny. No longer do we need to run away from Him, but now we can embrace Him and the trial. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, Comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. That's his prayer for you. That's his prayer for you. He releases an eternal comfort and a good hope in every situation. Because we serve a living God, because we serve a God who desires good things for us, there's always a good hope. And it's this good hope that he wants to bring forth in you. And just in case you're wondering, 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." The Lord is faithful, and he will protect you from the evil one. He strengthens us. He strengthens us and protects us from the evil one. These trials, these afflictions, they're part of what strengthens us, because as we overcome them, now we know we can stand. No longer I have to give in to that temptation, because I've been able to stand. I remember when I quit smoking, and the first time a friend of mine handed me one, and I took it and I put it in my hand, and it smelled so good at that moment. I wanted it. My whole body wanted it. And I said, I watched it. And it burned about halfway down, and in a little while I rolled the window down and I thumped it out the window. And I knew I had it beat at that moment. I never touched another one. They don't smell good anymore. It is totally unattractive. Because once you've overcome, once you understand the overcoming, then you've got it beat. And because you've got it beat, you know, it gives you the strength to go into the next thing. Now, the next issue that's in my life, I can take that little issue and begin to treat it like the last issue and stand on this place as a platform for the next one. Realizing that God has an intensive training, that he strengthens you in every trial. That every trial becomes a place of strength and encouragement. And that encouragement is released not just in you, but in everyone who will hear and receive the testimony. These are the things that God's wanting to release in us. The eternal weight of his mercy is released in this intensive training that we receive. And so oftentimes we try to run from the very thing that will bring us into the place of oneness and wholeness with him. We don't have to run from our trial. We just have to yield our heart. Surrender our heart, that everything that's in us be in agreement with him. And it becomes, instead of a trial, a moment of intensive training. Instead of just an awkward or painful circumstance, it becomes a moment of equipping and preparation. That's what God's looking for. So, Lord, I just thank you today. Lord, we do. We rejoice, Father, even in the trials, Father, we rejoice because each of those, Father, have proved out over time. They've proven, Father, to be a moment of equipping. A moment, Lord, of preparation. A moment, Lord, of conditioning us and strengthening us in the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the nature of God that is coming alive in us, Father, for that nature is an overcomer. So, Lord, we embrace the overcomer in our life. We embrace the overcomer, Lord, because out of this place of embracing the overcomer is the change that brings forth your glory, the change that brings forth your grace, the change that speaks and releases love. Father, we thank you that we don't have to fear these things. We don't have to fear these things because we can embrace who you are. And Lord, we know that you are seeking our best. And you are seeking what's good for us, Lord. And so, Lord, we embrace who you are. And at the same time, Lord, we recognize that we're embracing even our own destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.